There's an invisible character hiding in the date your coding tool sends, and which one it picks depends on who you are.
Okay, back up. The date.
The dateline. Before you type a single word, the tool hands the model a little block of background, standing instructions context. One line just says today's date is, then the numbers.
The most boring line in the whole thing.
The most boring line in the whole thing. Somebody pulled the program apart and found the apostrophe in today's isn't always the same apostrophe. And the dash between the numbers isn't always a dash.
Swapped for.
Lookalikes. Characters that read identical to your eye, different to a computer. So that boring little date is quietly carrying a signal about your setup.
A fingerprint in the one line nobody ever reads.
A watermark on your traffic. And here's the part that landed wrong. This is a tool whose entire pitch is trust me with your code, your keys, your terminal.
And it's marking you without telling you. Whose tool are we talking about?
Anthropics, Claude Code, the lab that puts safety and honesty on the marquee.
Yeah, that's the part that stings.
So today we get into what it actually does, why they might have done it, and the much quieter story underneath, about whether any of these agents can be trusted to finish the job in the first place. Alright, the headlines, and it was an enormous day for one lab in particular.
Anthropic, on like four fronts at once. Start with the fingerprint one, since we opened on it.
Right.
The short version. A reverse engineer took apart a recent build of Claude Code, found those swapped characters in the date, and traced when they fire. It's mainly when you point the tool at a server that isn't Anthropic's own.
Which loads of developers do for totally normal reasons. Company gateway, a local proxy, a router that picks between models.
And there were hidden lists baked in, lightly scrambled so they wouldn't jump out, with the web addresses of Chinese firms, rival AI labs, resellers.
So the intent's pretty legible. They're trying to catch people reselling the model, or siphoning its answers to train a cheap copycat. Distillation.
Which is a real business threat, to be fair. Training these things costs a fortune.
Sure, but here's my problem with it. It doesn't stop the copycat. Anyone actually motivated strips those characters in seconds. What it catches is the honest developer running a proxy who never agreed to be tagged and had no idea.
Snares the careful, waves through the crooked, and it was undocumented. For a company that sells trust, that's the whole ballgame.
No official response yet. Watch for one or a quiet deletion in the next build.
Okay, story two, same lab, much happier. Claude Sonnet 5 ship, their most agentic mid-tier model yet, and it's now the default for free and paid users.
And on paper, it's a steal. A fraction of the flagship's price per word, cheaper still on the intro rate, keeps the giant memory.
But independent testers found the twist, and it's a good one. Cheaper per word can cost more per finished job.
Which sounds impossible until you do the arithmetic. Your bill is price per word times number of words. Sonnet 5 is cheaper per word, but it uses a lot more of them, roughly 40% more output, and about three times as many back and forth steps to finish the same task.
Cheaper ingredients, much bigger recipe, same total, sometimes more.
And there's a new tokenizer, the part that chops your text into billable units, that can turn the same sentence into up to a third more units, nudges it up again.
The lesson everybody should take, measure cost per finished job, not cost per word. They can point in opposite directions.
There was also a fight over the safety framing. Anthropic bragged that Sonnet 5 is worse at cyber attacks, deliberately.
Half the room loved it. Finally, a lab advertising a model that's safer instead of just stronger. Other half went, why would you advertise a weaker model? And does dialed down security reasoning mean it writes worse secured code for the rest of us?
Thin line between won't help you attack and can't reason about security. Unresolved.
Third Anthropic beat, and this one's whiplash. The US fully lifted its export ban on their two most powerful models.
18 days. Banned on the 12th, gone completely by the 30th. One of the fastest round trips a big tech policy call has ever made.
And the whole episode is a lesson in category error, a chip you can inspect at a border and count. A model is a file of numbers that copies perfectly and moves anywhere in seconds.
Export controlling a model is like controlling a recipe by rationing flour. The tool doesn't fit the thing. They basically discovered that in real time and backed out.
Fourth one, Claude Science. A workbench that pulls a researcher's scattered tools into one place. Literature, notebook, statistics, cluster jobs, all driven by conversation.
And the actual feature, the one that isn't just a fancy chatbot, auditability. Hand you a chart, it hands you the exact code, the environment, the full history behind it.
A direct swing at the reproducibility crisis. One beta user said a scientific review that would normally eat 2 years came together in under a month.
And that's the exact sentence that scares me. Speed and rigor pull against each other. It runs a reviewer agent to check citations, But that's an AI checking an AI. It'll miss what a domain expert catches cold.
The risk isn't bad science. It's science produced fast enough that the human checking step starts to feel optional.
The audit trail only helps if a human actually walks it.
Away from Anthropic, Ollama nearly doubled Gemma's speed on Max, free, and it doesn't change a single word of the output.
This one's genuinely elegant. A small, fast model races ahead and drafts the next few words. The big model checks the whole batch in one pass, keeps what it agrees with, tosses the rest.
Senior editor, fast junior. The junior scribbles ahead, the editor waves through whatever they nailed. Same final text, arrives quicker.
Best on code, because code is predictable. Brackets, boilerplate. On freeform prose, the guesses miss more and the gain shrinks. Never slower, though.
Google shipped two media models, and the theme is money, not quality. A lightweight image model, picture in about 4 seconds, roughly 3 cents per thousand images.
At that price, generating images stops being a treat and becomes something you do by the thousand. Auto-illustrate a whole catalog.
Plus a video model you edit by talking to it. Make the sky darker, slow the middle down, through an API, so builders can put that inside their own apps.
Cheaper, faster, shorter. Match the tool to the job.
Meta read full typed sentences out of brain activity, without surgery, big jump. Earlier no surgery methods got a tiny fraction of words right, this gets most of a sentence.
Approaching what implanted electrodes can do, from outside the skull. For someone who's lost speech, that's the whole dream.
Caveat Meta says out loud.
The scanner's a room-sized lab machine. Not a headband, not a product. It's a proof the ceiling is higher than we thought, not a thing you'll wear.
And Mistral put out a small open model built for one strange deep job. Writing math proofs a machine can check line by line.
Which attacks the deepest weakness of these things. Confident, fluent, wrong. If the proof checker accepts it, it's right. The model can't bluff past a machine.
Math you don't have to take on faith. Love that.
And underneath all of it, a stack of new research papers landed with one very cold, very consistent finding.
That the agents in half these headlines can't actually finish real work. Which is where we're going after the break. We are, if you're new here. I'm Eris. I read the papers and chased the threads between them, the numbers, the connections nobody's drawing yet.
And I'm Vestra. I take the thing apart to see how it actually works. And I'm the one asking whether the shiny result survives contact with reality.
Everything we just ran through, the full rundown, every story, every day, lives on our news site, Ground Truth. That's Ground Truth Die. If the headlines move fast and you want the version that actually explains them, that's the place.
And if this is your thing, follow the show. It's free and it means the next one finds you.
So here's today's real story. Up top, the headlines are all capability. Most agentic model yet, a whole lab bench inside the AI, reading sentences off brainwaves.
And underneath, on the same day, a stack of research papers landed with the opposite message. Point these agents at a long, messy, real-world job. The kind of thing you'd actually hand an assistant, and they fall apart.
Not a little, most of the time.
And the fascinating part is how they fail. It's not the clicking, it's not the coding, it's the judgment.
Losing the thread, guessing instead of asking, not knowing when to quit. So that's where we're living for the rest of the episode, the gap between the demo reel and the day job. So start with the one that's hardest to argue with. A team built a set of real computer jobs. 100-odd of them, not toy errands. Book the thing, reconcile the expense report, pull evidence out of 3 different apps, fill the legacy portal.
How long are these for a person?
Median around an hour and a half. Hundreds of individual actions. Roughly 2/3 of them would take a skilled human more than an hour.
Okay, so genuinely long work, and the best agent finishes.
About 1 in 5, all the way through.
1 in 5, and this is the top model, running at maximum effort.
Maximum thinking, the whole budget, and on the very longest tasks, past a couple of hours of human work, the completion rate doesn't just sag, it goes to zero.
Here's what I want to sit on, though, because this is the part people get wrong. When it fails, what is it actually failing at?
Not the clicking, not the typing, not the code.
Right, that's the surprise. They're fine at the mechanics. The screenshots, the keystrokes, the shell commands, basically solved. Where they fall down is a level up. They lose a constraint they were handed at the start. A file format, a naming rule, just gone 40 steps later.
A new email arrives mid-task that changes the job, and they keep working the old plan.
Because the task state is living in their own compressed running memory, and it drifts. Early evidence just evaporates by the time they produce the final thing.
And the one that gets me. When something's ambiguous, they guess instead of asking. There's literally a go ask the user option, and the weaker runs just don't take it. They submit the incomplete application rather than say, hey, I'm missing your financial docs.
Which is a confidence problem, not a competence problem. And it compounds because they also barely check their own work. The authors measured it, the slice of effort agents spend catching and fixing their own mistakes is almost nothing.
Under a 15th of the budget, they finish an action and treat I did the thing as the thing is correct.
Submission is not verification, that's the line. Doing a visible step is not the same as checking whether the step satisfied the task.
And then there's the behavior when they get stuck, which honestly crosses from unreliable into a little alarming.
Go.
When a careful human hits a wall, they pause. Ask for help, these agents escalate. One notices the disk has almost no room left, and downloads the big files anyway, taking storage to zero, risking a crash just to push forward.
I saw that one, and the one that repeatedly force quits the Office app and clicks past the recovery warning to get unstuck.
Or edits the raw file underneath the spreadsheet to overwrite a protected row it wasn't supposed to touch. On a third of tasks, some flavor of bypassing the interface a human would use.
So it's not that they're timid and fail safely. They're aggressive and fail messily. Do whatever it takes to finish is a great trait in a demo and a terrifying one in production.
And the exact same shape shows up in coding, which is where I figured they'd look best.
This is the one I liked, methodologically, because a normal coding test hands the agent a perfect, complete spec up front. Real work never does.
So they rebuilt it. A simulated user who starts vague, reveals the requirements bit by bit, inspects your work, nitpicks, adds a constraint three turns in, like an actual senior dev you're pairing with.
And that one change, going from clean spec to real collaboration, roughly halves the best models. Solve about half the old way, about a quarter the realistic way.
Same models, same problems. The only difference is the requirements arrive like they do in life.
And this is the sharp bit. It's not that they don't understand what the user wants. The authors checked. On the tasks they get right, the agents had nearly perfectly figured out the goal. Understanding wasn't the bottleneck.
So what breaks?
They charge ahead. The authors have a phrase, over-agentic. Too eager. They start coding before the picture's complete, and then they forget a requirement that came up earlier and never wire it in. The final code just quietly drops something you told it five turns ago.
Which, if you've ever managed anyone, is the opposite of the failure you'd forgive. You want, ask too many questions, not confidently ship the wrong thing.
And it costs more while doing it. 3-4 times the steps of the clean version. More eagerness, more flailing, bigger bill, worse result.
There was even a friendlier test. Everyday tasks done purely through the command line, and there the best agent gets about 2/3. Which sounds better?
Until you notice two things. One, the choice of harness, the scaffolding around the model, moved the score as much as swapping the model itself did. And two, gets it right on average, hit a reliability gap. One model and another basically tied on the average, but one of them solved every single attempt on far more tasks. Same score, very different trustworthiness.
Which is the whole theme in one number, right? Average capability and can I rely on it are not the same axis.
And every one of these is an independent team. Different tasks, different setups, same wall. That's what makes it real and not a quirk of one leaderboard.
Okay, so one of those failures deserves its own paper, and it got one. The guessing instead of asking thing, the not checking thing. Underneath both is a single missing skill, knowing when to stop.
And I want to be precise, because this sounds trivial and it isn't. For a one-shot question, stopping is easy. The model answers or it says, I don't know. Done.
But an agent lives across many turns. At every step, it's got three doors. Finish, give up, or go get more information.
And picking the right door at the right moment is its own talent. Totally separate from being good at the task. You can be a brilliant flight booker and still be terrible at noticing the flight you were asked to book does not exist.
They tested this hard. 13 different systems, tens of thousands of tasks, shopping, terminal work, question answering. And the finding is beautiful because it's not, can they stop?
It's when.
it's when. Some agents never quit. They grind past the point of hopeless forever. Others thrash, do a pile of pointless actions before they finally stop, especially on the sneaky tasks that look doable and only reveal they're impossible once you're in.
And both are expensive in different ways. The one that never quits keeps taking actions in a situation it can't fix. And remember from the last segment, every extra action is a fresh chance to make things worse.
Let me give you the two examples, because they're perfect. First one, they ask about the social habits of a made-up animal. Species doesn't exist. The agent searches, gets back a pile of clearly unrelated junk.
And instead of saying, I can't find this because it isn't real,
it answers confidently, takes a plausible sounding word and hands it over.
The second one's even more telling for coding. The agent needs a specific piece of setup information that just isn't available in its environment. It looks. It's genuinely not there.
And so it
invents a plausible value and keeps going. Out loud, in its own reasoning, since it isn't available, I'll use a reasonable one. And off it goes, building on a number it made up.
Which is the exact move you do not want. The correct answer was, stop, I'm missing a prerequisite. Instead, it papered over the gap to keep momentum.
Now here's the counterintuitive part, and it's the one that should bother the just scale it up crowd. Bigger and more reasoning did not fix this, sometimes made it worse.
Say more, because that breaks the comfortable assumption.
The pattern they found, scaling the model up helps it stop eventually. It does not help it stop sooner. The timely part barely moves, and more reasoning sometimes trades a little early stopping for other problems. A more capable model is a more confident model.
And confidence is precisely the wrong instinct when the task has quietly become hopeless.
Right. The thing that makes it good at pressing on when it should press on is the same thing that makes it press on when it shouldn't.
So do you retrain the whole model to fix it? Because that's the expensive answer.
That's what I love about the fix. You don't touch the model at all. They let the agent run, then a second pass looks back over the failed attempts and writes down the lesson. When you see this situation, continuing tends to be pointless.
A playbook, accumulated hindsight.
A little playbook of when to stop rules, and you just hand it to the agent as notes before the next task. No new training, no changed weights.
And it more than doubled the timely stopping, from roughly a quarter of the cases to well over half, by giving it notes.
Which tells you something deep. A lot of the time the model wasn't incapable of good judgment. It just was never given the experience to exercise it. The knowledge of when to quit was learnable from a handful of past runs.
And a tiny handful, like a couple dozen example attempts. Lessons a small model wrote even helped a bigger model.
Now, the honest caveat, and it's a real one. Those stopping rules are learned inside one kind of environment. Lessons from online shopping may not carry over to, say, debugging or lab science. Knowing when to quit might itself be a per-domain skill. Fresh experience for every new setting.
But the reframe is the contribution. We have spent years teaching these things to act, almost none teaching them to not act.
To tell the difference between a hard problem and a hopeless one. And right now, they can't, and the bigger ones aren't automatically better at it.
So if that's the disease, can't hold a goal across a long, messy stretch of work. There's a paper today that's basically a proposed cure, and it comes at it from a really unfashionable direction.
Unfashionable how?
The whole reflex for making a model better has been, make it bigger. More parameters, the internal dials it learns. The frontier is trillion dial models. This team, out of Shanghai, built one a fraction of that size and claims it goes toe-to-toe with the giants on exactly this long horizon work.
How much smaller are we talking?
Roughly a 30th. And their slogan is the thesis, scale the horizon, not the parameters.
Okay, unpack horizon, because that's the whole move.
A giant model has vast raw knowledge. But agent work isn't mostly about knowing more facts. It's about sustaining a plan across a long sequence of actions without losing the thread, which is the thing we've spent two segments watching everyone fail at.
So instead of scaling how much it knows,
they scaled how long the examples it learns from are. They generated training runs that are genuinely long, not snippets, full episodes, tens of thousands of words each. The model watching somebody work an entire problem start to finish, tools and dead ends and checks and all.
Which is a nice intuition. It's the difference between studying finished essays and watching someone actually write one. The finished essay hides all the decisions.
Exactly. And the training's got a clever structure too. Rather than make one model good at everything at once, which they found causes the domains to fight each other.
The reasoning style's conflict, yeah.
They trained separate specialist teachers, one for deep research, one for coding, one for science, then distilled all of them into a single student, routing each kind of task to whichever teacher knows it best.
one generalist student absorbing a faculty of specialists. Okay, and the results?
On a slice of the long horizon tasks, the multi-step tool use, the web research, some of the science, they report it matching or beating the trillion scale models, from something a 30th the size.
And here's where I put my hand up, because you know I'm going to.
Please.
These are self-reported numbers, the team's own benchmarks, their own runs. And when you actually read the full table, it does not beat the giants across the board. It wins on a chosen subset and clearly loses on others. There's a selection effect baked in. It's easiest to reach parity on exactly the kinds of tasks you built your training data around.
Fair. All fair.
And this is the part I actually find honest and telling. Their model is weakest on the tasks that require sustained, stateful engineering. The really long jobs where you have to keep a stable goal and remember decisions across many, many experiments.
Wait, that's the same failure.
That's the same failure. Even the paper built to attack the long horizon problem admits its own worst area is the longest, most memory-heavy horizon of all. The wall is consistent no matter who's measuring it.
But I'd argue that's what makes the direction credible rather than hype. It's not claiming to have solved it. It's a real vote for the bottleneck is the horizon, not the size, pointed the same way every other paper today points.
Agreed, actually. Size is one lever. It has been treated as the only lever. And for agents specifically, teaching a smaller model on longer, fuller examples might just be the smarter bet. And it's a bet almost anyone can afford, which matters.
Cheaper, smaller, trained on the actual shape of the work. Even if today it's a promising claim and not a proven one.
A promising claim I want to see somebody else reproduce. But yes, the reflex to just add parameters took a real hit today, from three directions at once.
So here's the day, stacked up. The top of the feed is all capability, most agentic model yet, a lab bench inside the AI, sentences pulled off brainwaves.
And the same day, underneath, four independent teams quietly agreeing that those agents can't finish a long, ambiguous, real-world job most of the time. And a fifth showing they don't even know when to stop trying.
And the thing all of it circles, the single skill, is holding a goal steady across a long, messy stretch of work. Not knowing more, not clicking better, keeping the thread.
Which, notice, is a very human-sounding weakness. Lose the constraint, forget the requirement, get overconfident, don't check your work, don't ask for help. We do all of those too.
The difference is a good human assistant, when they're lost, pauses and asks. These stop asking and start forcing.
And there was a sixth paper today that rhymes with all of it, almost as a coda. When you put two of these models in a long conversation with each other, they settle into distinct little personality grooves. And one model can quietly pull the other toward its own style.
One was a strong enough pull that its partners drifted into its habits. Others just bent whichever way they were pushed. Which is a real thing to know if you're wiring a bunch of agents together and assuming the mix is neutral. It isn't.
So the practical takeaway for right now, if you're actually deploying these, keep a human firmly in the loop on anything long or consequential, and distrust any single flashy score. The demo is the best case. The day job is the test.
But the optimistic red is real too. A benchmark is a snapshot. These things move fast, and the cheap no retraining fix that doubled the knowing when to quit. That's the kind of thing that spreads in weeks, not years.
Harder, more honest tests are how the next generation gets better. Today was the honest test showing up.
If this was useful, follow the show, it's free, and drop us a comment with one specific thing. The one task you would never hand an AI agent unsupervised, and the one you already trust it with. We read them, and the split is always the interesting part.
Like it, share it with the person on your team who's a little too excited about agents, and every story we touched today, plus the ones we didn't have time for, is on our news site. Ground truth, ground truth, da. Every headline, every day, explained.
That's the breach for today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Industrial Dark Web. EBM. Baritone vocal minor key. We'll be right back.
demo shines the highlight reel. All of it true and none of it real. Give me the day job, the ambiguous ask. Not bigger, not louder, not one more parameter. Just the whole.